Turn with me, please, to the final chapter of the book of Ruth and the 13th verse of that great chapter. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, and the 13th verse. And this is what we're told in that place. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. It's the words at the end of the verse, especially that interest us today. They, in a sense, sum up the closing section of the book. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. We have been studying the book of Ruth now for some 11 months, the beginning of the new season after last summer. We've brought something over 25 messages. If my count is correct, this is part 27 of the study. This will be the last theme in the study. This morning may not be the last message. It may take me two Sabbaths to complete all we want to say on this theme. But we've certainly come to the final theme at this time in this study of the book of Ruth. Remember that there are three great things in the final chapter. If I were to alliterate them for you, they all begin with B. There is the bridegroom, Boaz himself. We looked at Boaz under the great theme and subject of redemption accomplished. There is the bride herself. Here comes the bride. We looked at that 3 weeks ago. And then there is the theme of the baby, which we have here. And she bare a son. Can I point out to you that in the scriptures, Bethlehem, well, we sing the words at Christmas, O little town of Bethlehem. Well, in the scriptures, Bethlehem is always associated with children. The little town, as it's described in the Bible, is always associated with the little ones. Sometimes in great sadness, and in other times in great joy. Sometimes you read in the Bible of the death of children in Bethlehem. Do you remember what happened just after the birth of the Lord Jesus? Herod, when he saw, as the Bible says, was mocked by the wise men, he sent forth the Roman soldiers, sent forth the army into that area to kill all the little ones from 2 years old and upwards. It's hard to take that in. It gives you something of the hardness and callousness, not just of Herod, but of those soldiers. We could scarcely appreciate the grief. There are few communities that have been more stricken with grief through the death of little ones than the little town of Bethlehem. So sometimes you read in the Bible of the death of children here. But you also have several records of the birth of children in Bethlehem. I wonder if I was to ask you the question this morning, what is the first birth of a child that is recorded in the scriptures in the town of Bethlehem? I wonder, could you give the answer to that question? The first mention, remember, is always important of anything in the Word of God. It helps us to understand, helps us to appreciate, to unfold that great truth. Well, the first birth of a child in Bethlehem was Benjamin, the son of Rachel and Jacob. And you remember that the Bible tells us that Rachel died following the death, or following the birth of Benjamin. And she was buried there. Her tomb is there to this day, just outside the little town of Bethlehem. And some of you had the opportunity to go there and to see it. Another birth, great birth, is the birth of David. If you look at the last verse of the book, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So David was born in Bethlehem. David, who was the second king of Israel, perhaps in many ways the greatest king of Israel. Always remember that David was born here in this city too. The most famous birth of all, of course, was the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who is to be ruler in Israel. So says Micah the prophet. So Bethlehem is known for the birth of children. And this story, contained in the four chapters of the book of Ruth, it ends with a birth in Bethlehem. It ends with the birth of Ruth and Boaz's son. And what a contrast that is, men and women. It's good to highlight it, good to think about it. This story began with the death, not just of one son, but the death of two sons, both sons of Bethlehem. But the story ends in a great contrast. The story ends with the birth of a son in Bethlehem, a son that came from the very same family. So it's good to think of that. The story ends well, brethren and sisters. And there's a few things about this child I want us to think about. Six things in all. We'll see how many of them we work our way through this morning in the time that is left. I want you to think first of all of Naomi and the child. Naomi, remember, is a main character of the book. And Naomi's mentioned three times in association with the birth of this little one. We could say in a sense that Naomi is a focus of attention at the time of the birth of Obed. An interesting question for you to consider. You may want to look at this this afternoon or through the week. And the question is, what relation is this child to Naomi? Now remember that Ruth had been her daughter-in-law. Ruth had been married to her son Mahlon, but she's now married to a near kinsman called Boaz. So that's an interesting question for your consideration. What relation is this child actually to Naomi? The book of Solomon says, or Solomon said in the Old Testament, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And men and women, that is true for Naomi. The story of Ruth and the story of life for this woman, Naomi, it ended well. Do you remember Jacob said, he once said, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. We have announced two bereavements in association with this congregation this morning. No death, no bereavement is easy for a family to bear. But I think it's true to say there's no worse, no greater loss, no greater bereavement for any family circle than the bereavement of a child when a little one or a child of the family is taken from you. And those that have lost children will be able to identify with Jacob in that great lamentation, if I be bereaved of my children. And Naomi certainly could. Think of the graves she left behind her in the land of Moab. But here's what we learn, brethren and sisters here. We learn that the Lord can make up for all the trials of life, all the troubles. The Lord can make up for all the pain and all the grief that we have passed through. The Lord himself can make up for even the loss of a child in the family. And he can do that by giving another child, perhaps even giving another person to take the place of the children that were lost. Look at verse 15. It says, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." You see what the Lord did for Naomi? She had lost her two boys, but the Lord had now blessed her with another boy in the family. But the verse particularly is focusing in upon Ruth, that thy daughter-in-law, we considered the mother-in-law for a little while. Well, here's something about the daughter-in-law. And it says, which loveth thee, loved her mother-in-law. And it says of Ruth, she is better to thee than seven sons. Do you see how the Lord blessed this woman and blessed her life and blessed her family with this young woman, Ruth? The Lord can make up, men and women, for every loss in life, even the loss of a child. You think of Job. The Bible says he lost his whole family. We can hardly comprehend that, men and women. Seven sons and three daughters. Not taken away over a period of time, over a period of years, but all taken away in one sweep, taken away in one day. We cannot begin today to comprehend the grief that Job must have felt and must have passed through. But remember, the Lord made up for it. The end of the story ends well. It's a good ending to the book of Job. The Lord doubled everything that Job had, his camels, his sheep, his asses. But it's interesting, he didn't double the family. He gave him another seven sons, and he gave him another three daughters. Do you know the reason for that? Why he didn't give him 14 sons and six daughters? It's because the first members of the family were all in heaven. They weren't lost. He hadn't lost those children. He would have, when he got to heaven and the family with him, double as far as the children of the family were concerned. So I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, as you think of Naomi and think of the road that she walked and think of the deep valley that she passed through, I want you to be encouraged today to trust in the Lord. No matter how dark the way for you may be at this very moment, I want you to be encouraged by this woman's life to see the Lord can make up for it. The Lord will bring you through to a better day. The Lord will make up for the most bitter sufferings of this life. He will abundantly recompense you for it. So that's a little of Naomi and the child. Think as well of the nourishment of the child. That 15th verse again. It says, "He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age." Isn't that an interesting verse? I'd encourage you to mark it, and I'd encourage you to ponder it yourself in private. Remember, that's how we would like you to respond to all of the messages, the things you hear as you listen to the Word of God. If something stands out, take time to study that further, look into it yourself in your own time, in your own Bible study. But it says, "He shall be a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age." I heard a story in the news a few years ago of a man that was over 100 years of age. And when he reached his 100th birthday, they interviewed him. And they asked him what the secret was of longevity, the secret of long life. And he gave this answer: hard work and clean living. I thought that was a good answer. Summed it up well. You know, there's another secret, men and women, to long life, and that is to spend time with children, to spend time with young people. Children in the day in which we live, it's a sad thing, a very sad thing. There seem to be a burden, spending time, being at home with the children. That seemed to be a hindrance to life and to the enjoyment of life. And how sad, men and women, how wrong that is. Let me stress it like this, the high calling of motherhood and fatherhood too. It's one of the greatest callings that any person could ever have, to bring up children in the things of God. And notice here in this verse, the children and young people can do you good. Children can be a restorer of your life. Sometimes you get a wee bit downhearted. You begin to fade, as it were. But children can be a restorer of life. And even it talks about old age. What can children do for you? They can nourish you, nourish your heart, strengthen you, revive you, refresh you. Children can be like a tonic. They can make you feel young again and even give to you a new lease of life. That's the teaching of the Word of God. And it's the teaching, men and women, of that 15th verse that is before us this morning. Dr. Paisley's brother Harold, he said on this portion, no better way to get a new lease on life. Is that what you're looking for today? That's what you think you need? New lease on life? Well, no better way to get a new lease on life than to start investing in the younger generation. And I want to encourage you to do that today, if you've never done it before. Some of you are involved with the younger generation, even in the church. Children's meetings, Sunday school, youth meetings, youth outreaches. We've mentioned already our youth camp of these last couple of days. To all of you that are involved in that work, and you might be tempted, you might be discouraged, you might be fainting a little in the work, you might be thinking of giving up. Remember, that's what the devil wants you to do. No better way to get a new lease in life than to start investing in the younger generation. Can I ask you today, what are you investing in? What are you investing as far as your time, the talents, the gifts that God has blessed you with? Who or what are you investing those things in? Is it in the younger generation to seek to encourage them and to influence them on in the things of God? You know, there's a very interesting verse found in Psalm 103. It says that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I find that very interesting indeed. That your youth, even as you get older, it can be renewed. Sometimes we feel our age getting older and all that goes with it. But it's possible that your youth can be renewed. That's a great prospect as you face the future. A great prospect as the years go on. And you know, one way that your youth can be renewed is invest time in the younger generation. Let me assure you, men and women, and encourage everyone, those that gave time this week, thinking of them and all others that work among the children and young people of the church, it's a vital ministry. It's a vital work as far as the future of the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned. We want to thank you for the work that you do, and we pray that God will bless you and encourage you in it. Children and young people, men and women, rejuvenate the older generation. Remember when Naomi came back to Bethlehem, she was full of bitterness. It was as if her life had come to an end because of all that she had lost and been through. But she got rejuvenated in older age, and that older stage of life. And just as children can rejuvenate the older generation, children can rejuvenate the Church of Christ as well. That's why all of these works, these little ones that went out, doesn't it do your heart good to see them amongst you, to hear their voices in the house of God? We thank the Lord for every one of them and pray that he'll send us many more in the days that lie ahead. One other thing I'll mention this morning. That's the nurse of this child. It's there in the 16th verse. Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse onto it. This little child had a nurse. That's an interesting Study too, some of you here are involved in the nursing profession. The reference to a nurse here will be of a special interest to you. Look for every reference to the nurse in the Word of God. The idea is that this child, in the person of Naomi, had a babysitter, one that helped to look after it. Remember that Naomi now was an older woman, so in a sense she has become the honorary grandmother of this little child. In her latter years, in the last days of her life, while God gave her strength and gave her help, here's a work in which she was engaged for the Lord. She spent time with a child. I thought I'd talk about child miners and the work that is done by those people. But there's no better child minder than a close member of the family, particularly thinking of grandmothers and grandparents. And what an example. So we think of Naomi here. There's times in this story she's been a very poor example. Got away from the Lord. Cold of heart, backslidden, disobeyed the command of God and left Bethlehem in the time of famine. There's times she's been a very bad example, but here's an occasion when Naomi has become a good example for every lady here, and particularly the older women amongst us and the grandmothers of the congregation. Here's something for you to consider, a role for you to take on, a work and a ministry for you to be engaged in, looking after, being a nurse to the younger members of your family. Now, I know that that can be abused by the younger generation. I know that they can take advantage of grandparents, and let me just sound the warning that you ought not to do that. And that's certainly not what's been taught here, and certainly not what I'm encouraging, that you take advantage of your mothers and your fathers, the grandparents of your children. But there certainly is a way that they can help and assist you in the bringing up of your children. You see the word nurse that's used there? If you were to engage in a word study, I wonder if you've ever done that in your life, taken a word in the Bible and followed it through the Scriptures to see the different ways it's used. Well, that word nurse, remember there's two books in the Bible named after women, Ruth and Esther. Well, this word nurse that's used here in the final chapter with regard to Naomi is also found in the book of Esther. And in the book of Esther, this is how it's translated, brought up, talking about Esther being brought up with him, being brought up with Mordecai. And what's the idea, men and women? The idea of the work that Naomi did here in nursing this little one, the idea is that she helped in the bringing up of this child. As a grandparent, or in that capacity, in that role, she helped to bring up this little one in the things of God. Ruth didn't have to do it all on her own, do it completely without the help and without the support of others. The word actually has the idea behind it as well of faithfulness. And isn't there a challenge there to us all with regard to our families? And a challenge particularly to all grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on. Don't think as the years go on that you don't have a responsibility. You need to be faithful. Faithful in the things of God, in the life that you live, in the help that you extend. Faithful to your own children, and faithful to your grandchildren, and faithful to every member of the younger generation of the congregation, just like Naomi was to this little lad, Obed. What that means, men and women, is faithful to spend time with them. Take time. Sometimes can be too busy. Do you know, whenever Martha was cumbered with much serving, she didn't sit down with Mary. Well, as well as not taking time for the Lord, she didn't even take time for her own sister. She needed to take time. Take the time, make the effort to spend time with the members of your own family. They will remember that. You know, it's a lovely thing when you go to a funeral and see grandchildren that genuinely are grieved and deeply saddened at the loss of grandparents, because of the blessing and the help and the encouragement that those grandparents were to those children, those young people, when they were being brought up. So spend time with them. Give them memories to take with them all their days, to cherish to the grave, of grandparents that spent time with them and invested in their young lives. Be faithful in the influence that you bear, in the life that you live, in the encouragement that you give. Remember, every one of us is an influence, either for good or for bad. Be faithful in bringing them up in the things of God, the wee words that you speak as they're in your company, teaching them early the scriptures and the ways of the Lord himself. And be faithful too to pray. To pray earnestly that God will bless those little ones. Remember, that's what you need to do in your own prayer times, and even coming out to the prayer meetings of the church, that we pray together for all the families and all the children of the congregation. So as we think of the baby, the child, there's Naomi and the child, and the nourishment and the nurse. I leave it there today. As I said, there's three other things in the will of the Lord in a fortnight's time. We will take a little look at those and bring this series and this study to a conclusion. We're going to sing a hymn about the family as we close.